Good morning. Good morning. So wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our worship time this morning. Last week we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How amazing it is to continue that celebration each and every week, knowing that truth still is here and it's still time to worship, still time to spread that news. If you're with us this morning and you were a guest with us, maybe this is your first time together, or maybe you've been here several times and you've never filled out a guest card, we would love to have a record of you being here. So located in the pew directly in front of you, more than likely, hopefully, you will notice a guest card. If you could fill that out, put it in the offering plate, let us take care of the offering this week. We would love to have a record of you being with us. I do have just a couple of announcements to make sure we're aware of a few things. First of all, you may have noticed it's just a little warmer in here, and that's because one of our units is not quite right, you know, with the summer approaching us. Some things happen, and so we'll check on that this week, but we are trying to do things we can to make it a little more comfortable in here. Just wanted to pass that word along. Found out this morning after a great breakfast with our Baptist men that we're going to move forward towards our youth summer mission trip, much like we did in the fall. Our youth summer mission trip is June 21st through the 28th. We are very excited to continue to partner in Whitley City with Crossroads Community Baptist Church. It was an amazing opportunity to see how Grant Hastie is involved with that community and how we as a church latched on to that ministry to be able to focus locally and further away. And so you remember we collected a lot of non-perishable food and clothing because several Baptist men went back in the fall after our mission trip from last year. Well, we would like to take an additional trailer or two or three. Let's see how God can provide. We're going to give from now up until when our youth and several others leave for the mission trip to collect any and all clothing and non-perishable food items. The same room that we used last time towards the end of the hall, the only available room we have right now in the church, we'll collect everything in there. If you have any questions, ask Davis, Randy, myself, anybody with the Baptist men. We'll be able to inform you on what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I hope we have a good turnout like we did last time. I think we will. Also, the church community garden, you will see that beginning to become prepared more and more as the season approaches. We have a work day May 17th that morning starting at 8:30. This is for any and all families. There'll be more information going out after the work day. The work day is to beautify and do several things to the garden, but there'll be more information about how to be a part of the community garden ministry as that is a long-term partnership with the Christian United Outreach Center. So be looking for more information about how your family can be involved with that in the near future. Just wanted to get your ears used to hearing that. Are there any other announcements we have this morning before we begin to worship together? No? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we are again excited to be gathered together as your church, knowing that your Son is still risen from the grave. How exciting it is to worship him. Lord, to know you love us and have called us together to use this time where we come together as a community of believers to strengthen us, to encourage us, God, to pick us up, to remind us you're in control. Your love moves and guides us and lives through us. And we want that to be evident this week as we go about our lives that, Lord, seem very busy at times, but we want them to be fruitful. We want your Spirit to be seen through us in our words, our attitudes, our actions, everything pointing back to your Son, Jesus Christ. And may that begin today at the start of the week as we worship you as a church. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship this morning.
Praise the Lord who reigns above for our redemption from sin. Page 544, Redeemer, how I love to proclaim it. Let's all stand and sing joyfully the first, second, and last verses.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to come into your house of worship. Please accept these offerings that they might be pleasing to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
So good to see all of you come down. I'll give you just a few more moments. Excellent. All right, let me make sure you were all paying attention last week. You were here. What was last week? What was last Sunday? It was Easter. Absolutely. We were celebrating Easter. And I saw a lot of you were in Sunday school this morning. So my question is, I want to know what the first thing you did in Sunday school this morning, the Sunday after Easter. What's the first thing you did in Sunday school this morning? What did you do? Colored something to get things started? Absolutely. What else? Or maybe what's the first thing your teacher did this morning when you got into Sunday school? Maybe this will help jog your memory. Does anybody see these in Sunday school? You see this? What is this? This is the roll book. You're right. This is the roll book. This is what each class has. It has all your names in there. And why does a teacher have a roll book? What would they do with that when they start the class each morning? Yeah, exactly. It's easy. I know. It's not a trick question this time. You're right. To know who's here. You want to check who's here and who's absent. It's important to know who's here. It's also important to know who's absent so you can make sure they know maybe something they missed the next time you see them. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about something that happened after Jesus' resurrection. It happened after Easter. And we're going to talk about how the disciples were gathered together, but there was one disciple absent. There was one disciple missing, and we're going to see what happened when that disciple, whose name was Thomas, was missing. We read this in John chapter 20, starting with verse 19. Pay special close attention to what happens to Thomas. It says, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord." Then skipping down a couple verses, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe.' After 8 days later, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas this time was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who did not see me and yet believed.'" So this morning, we have to make sure that we continue to tell everybody that Jesus has risen from the dead. We need to make sure we tell them that great news. And one other thing we learned this morning in this story is when you're absent, sometimes we miss things that happen at church when we're not here. So we have to make sure we're here to make sure we're aware of what God is doing and how Jesus is alive and working through us, and to make sure we tell people who aren't here what Jesus is doing. Okay? Let's say a prayer, all right? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for us being here so you can teach us and we can go and tell those who are not here how you are alive and how you love us. Teach us how to do that, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're missing Jack this morning. Jack is working a different shift because one of the co-workers broke his leg and he's taking his job. And so I want to remember him during this time and his co-worker as well.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. One of these days I'm going home, where no sorrows ever come.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials.
Safe from heartache, pain, and care, we shall all that glory share.
And I'm going to sit down beside my Jesus. Lord, I'm going to
sit down and rest a little while.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials in our home.
Yes, in that home on the other side.
On the other side.
Going to shake glad hands with the elders.
Lord, and
tell my kindred good morning.
Then I'm going to
sit down beside my Jesus.
Lord, I'm going to
sit down and rest a little while. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I'm going to let the glory. glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get carried away when I get carried away. I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the King that day. King that day. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to get carried away. Carried away.
Page 519, face to face, oh, that's not it, 520, all three verses, joyfully again, up-tempo, and singing with gusto. Okay, let's all stand.
Be seated. Let me invite you to open your bulletins to our prayer concerns. For some of our young people, this was a milestone. This was prom weekend. I think lots of folks know that. And before long, we'll be celebrating graduation with several of our own church young folks, and we're excited about that. This week, North Carolina was touched by storms. Elizabeth City and Beaufort County, or it's actually Beaufort County, 200 homes and 16 taken to the hospital, and we certainly want to be keeping those, and I was noticing that we are cranking into that severe weather period, and We know those storms are coming, don't we? Would like to add one name to our prayer list, that of Bob Craig. That's Peggy Shepherd's cousin who is dealing with cancer. We want to keep him in our prayers in a very special way. I see Ronnie is here with us. Ronnie's going to have a stent removed this week, and we want to keep him in our prayers. Would ask you to keep my mom in your prayers. Mom is a resident now at Sanford Rehab, Health and Rehab on Farrell Road. She's in room 134, and she'd love to see you if you want to get by there. Our list is long. The needs are great. And our God is greater than all our needs. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come into this place and gather in your name, we have come to worship you. We know, Lord, that storms are inevitable in our life. That we inhabit bodies made of clay. And that in that reality, there will be storms. But Lord, you have also told us that you created us in your own image. And that we are more than a body. And that you have greater plans for us that we can even imagine. And so, Lord, as we face those storms, we don't want to minimize their importance because they're very important. We pray for those that have been devastated, for those that are dealing with health issues, for those who've lost loved ones. But, Lord, we stand on the promise that when we give glory to you, that you change everything. Be with us now as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, would you speak to me? And may that be each of our prayer. That, Lord, you speak to me today. That we might leave this place more in tune with your will, more committed to your service, more inspired by your presence, and more willing to be about your business than ever before. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Show.
Thank you, choir. Indeed, he does come to us with love. And thank for the Lord. I thought, well, maybe it would be three for the Trinity today since you were only three. But wonderful. Thank you for that music and that important message of that new day. I invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We've been talking for the last several weeks, and we're winding down now in our discussion of what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be the church and how those two things come together. There's a great danger, I believe, and that is that being a church member and being a disciple have to be the same. They should be the same. They absolutely should be the same. But there's no real word ever in Scripture about being a church member. There's words about the church. But there's a lot of discussion about being a disciple, a follower of Christ. Paul begins to unpack some discipleship lessons for us on accountability. How many of you have ever said or ever had somebody tell you this phrase, "Don't tell me what to do"? Ever heard that? Today we're going to talk about accountability. Who tells us what to do? Who should tell us what to do? Whom should we tell what to do? Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read the first 10 verses. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? Brothers, and I'll add sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us today about accountability, our accountability? May you give us strength to even examine ourselves in light of how you do examine us, that we might leave this place in tune with who you are in our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If there's a difference, or at least the possibility of a difference between a church member and a disciple, I wonder what it's like. I shared with the prayer meeting group that I'm reading a book right now, and it says that some see the church as a field, as a place. Others see it as a force, as a power. I want us to ask ourselves, are we accountable? Do we bear fruit of our accountability? I've shared this story with you before, but it was 8 years ago. I'll see how well your memory is. I'm going to share it again. It's a humorous story. The young engineer, his name was Billy, and he had the sweetheart of all his life, his high school sweetheart, and they were going to get married, and They decided they were those kind of frugal folks. Maybe they were Dave Ramsey graduates before Dave Ramsey, because this was at a time before all the social media. It wasn't nearly as easy to stay in touch as it is now. But he had just graduated with a degree in engineering, and there was a new electronics plant, but it was in Ireland. They paid well. Well enough to give the couple a tremendous start in life, but it was a 2-year assignment. And there'd be no returning home until the 2 years were accomplished. And because of the finances, there'd be no traveling over of his bride-to-be. And so there'd be a 2-year separation. Irene was the wife-to-be, and she took a job in Tennessee near the home, and they were going to pool their resources, and then when he returned, they were going to get married, and they were going to be able to have that tremendous start. But 2 years is a long time. A long time. And so they wrote each other before social media with the snail mail, we call it, the only mail there was at that time. And it took time for those letters to go from here to there and there to here. But they stayed in touch, and Irene began to be concerned because she had heard about all the lovely lassies in Ireland. And 2 years is a long time to be alone and separated. But Billy wrote back declaring his love for her, and he says, "I admit that sometimes I'm tempted, but I just find I keep to myself and I fight it." Well, one day he got a package, and then it was a harmonica and a how to play the harmonica self-taught lesson book. And she said, "Here, I thought I would let you learn to play the harmonica in your lonely times, and that would keep your mind off any temptations until we are reunited." And so the time came when he had finally fulfilled that almost eternal 2-year assignment, and he was returning home. And there where he came and got off of that time the boat and was headed, and there was Irene in all of her lovely, lovely glory. And he reached out to embrace her, and she said, "Hold on. Before all this hugging and kissing starts, I want to hear you play that harmonica." I wonder what God is listening for in our life. I wonder what kind of fruit He wants us to say, "God, instead of involving myself with all the things I'm tempted with, this is what I've dedicated myself to in order to keep my vow to you." A disciple, a follower of Christ. We are accountable to others. We're responsible to others. Isn't that what He just told us in our text in the first three verses? If anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them. Disciples are spiritual. We are. We think differently. We see things differently. We forgive differently. We love differently. We restore differently. But then He reminds us to be diligent that we keep ourselves mindful of our own temptations. And I love the way He ends verse 10. "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Yesterday, several from our church went to Camp Royale and worked. You got me calling it Royale now. I think it's still Camp Royale. For a group of folks that come who are saddled with a difficult, difficult diagnosis, and some of them with a difficult challenge in life, and they're the Autism Society, provides a camp for the summer. Be good to all people. This morning, our breakfast, we were talking about how can we go and help the folks that have been devastated by the storms. And we've done that. Some of us here remember when we went down to Mississippi after Katrina. I remember one of the first trips I took with our youth was to Atlantic after we were getting over some of those storms and down east. And be good to everybody. But then He says, and especially to those that are of the household of faith. We're to be accountable to each other. You see, the church is built on a family model. It's not a business model. Sometimes we try to make it a business model. We have committees and boards. But then, you know, we don't greet one another well, "Your Honor." How do we greet one another? Brother, sister, family. That's the biblical model for church. Not the business model. The family model. Brothers and sisters. We say that if one of our family members, if a son or a daughter, a husband or wife, a brother or sister, a mom or a dad are going down a wrong road and we just allow that to happen, we call that enabling, and we say that's not a good thing to do. We should help them. We should, our love, we should give them, sometimes we call it tough love. We should love them enough to say something. In our church culture, if someone were to tell us we were doing something wrong, what would we do? Probably change churches. We don't like to be held accountable. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. And yet, isn't that exactly what Scripture teaches us? We're accountable to each other. That our bond here should be so strong that you know when I come and say, "I need to talk with you," and it's not going to be a pleasant conversation, I'm not enjoying the conversation. And the only reason I'm doing it is because I love you. And I want what's best for you. And I want what's best for your spiritual well-being. And ultimately what's best for the kingdom of God. We don't like people to hold us accountable. I think sometimes this may be that place where the difference between a church member and a disciple might come in. I was reading Jalen Clark, a Lutheran priest in Canada, and she wrote these words. She was talking about the difference between a disciple and a church member. I allowed the faith to become a religion. There's a lot of talk about religions today. You know how folks begin to compare, well, there's this religion and that religion. Why is your religion better? Maybe we shouldn't even talk about religion. Maybe we should talk about our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to believe that I'm not a part of a religion. I'm part of a faith. She says church becomes an institution. The call to discipleship is to become a member. Church attendance is to be directly related and perceived as faith. Service is to be reduced to minimal contributions. Grace to become less than the cost of a life. That grabbed me when I read that. Let me read it again. And we just celebrated Easter last Sunday. Grace to become less than the cost of Jesus' life. Forgiveness to become acceptance of what is instead of healing what was. And then her last question, statement, thought between a church member and a disciple. Ministry to become people-pleasing instead of God-pleasing. Those are some pretty powerful statements. We're responsible for others. I read a story, and it grabbed me when I read it. I hope it grabs you. And maybe it will remind us that we're in this together and that we need to change. Supposedly a true story of two gentlemen who were part of a church, and they decided, and I like what they decided, and I would suggest to you that if you don't have a spiritual partner, if you don't have an accountability partner, maybe we ought to get a committee. God help us. But just find an accountability partner. Someone says, hey, will you hold me accountable? Let's decide. We'll read a book together. We'll pray together. We'll check in with each other. These two guys, Paul and William, they decided they wanted to be godly men. They wanted to make a difference in their home. They wanted to make a difference. And so they decided to form this accountability group, one with another. And Paul said, well, you know, the first thing that I think I need to do, and a lot of people at church don't know this. They don't know what I'm fixing to tell you, William. But when I'm on the job, I use language I would never use in church. I curse a lot. I use profanity. He said, I don't think that honors God. I want to stop it. They prayed about it, and they came up with a solution for Paul. This was his idea. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a $5 bill in a jar every time I curse, and then Sunday I'm going to give it to the church, and I'm going to let you see what happens, and I'm going to, you're going to be the only one that knows why I bring a jar of $5 bills to church. The first Sunday he brought $100 in $5 bills. He had a bad week, didn't he? Paul was financially okay, and $5 didn't really hurt him an awful lot. In fact, $100 didn't bother him too much. So the next week, the jar had a good amount. The church was getting blessed in a weird kind of way, wasn't it? But William was his partner. And William wanted to hold him accountable because that's what they had agreed to do. They both wanted to be godly men. And James says that a fountain can't give off fresh water and salt or polluted water at the same time. It can't come from the same place. So William began to pray, God, how can I help? This isn't working. He's getting it where he can see it, but he's not accountable. So after several weeks, William told Paul, he said, Paul, the next couple of weeks we're going to do something a little different. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen this Sunday. You just show up Sunday and bring me your jar. And so the next Sunday, Paul showed up with $150 in $5 bills. And William opened the jar. He took the money. He folded it up. He handed it back to Paul. And he wrote a check to the church for $150. And he said, don't worry about $5. Just mark it on a piece of paper. He signed another check. And he wrote it to the church. And he left it blank. And he gave it to Paul. And he said, every time you swear, you keep the $5 tithing. And next Sunday, you fill in on my bank account how much you did. The next Sunday, it was $55. The next Sunday, it was $20. And the third and every Sunday after that, it was nothing. He'd been held accountable by someone who loved him. Isn't that what the church, isn't that what disciples, bear one another's burdens? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Who are we holding accountable? Who are we letting hold us accountable? Who are we trying to help that we might be greater disciples of our Lord and Savior? We must hold each other accountable. But then Paul tells us we must hold ourselves accountable. I love what he says about test our works. Don't you love tests? You guys are fixing to have some fun tests toward the end of the year. Aren't they wonderful? Test, he says. You see what had happened here in Galatians, and if you study this book, you know, Paul, this is an angry letter. This is the most angry letter Paul ever wrote that we have a copy of. He was upset with what was going on in the church, and one thing they were doing was they were comparing their spirituality against each other. Now, if you want to fail spiritually as a disciple, just compare yourself to some other disciple, and I don't care, you name the one. But a disciple, we don't compare our lives to one another. Who do we compare our lives to? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why he was saying, each one test his own work, and then not your neighbor. Leave him alone. Don't worry about what he's doing other than you hold him accountable. Pray for him. But test your own work. How's our own work doing? Are we really being honest? It's so easy to be dishonest. Isn't it easy to be dishonest? You ever been caught knowing you hadn't been quite honest? I love the story about the four high school boys that were really late, and they've been told not to be late again. And so this time they said, well, we got an idea. Let's tell the teacher we had a flat tire. Yes. You know, we ride together, but she'll believe that. So they came in 25 minutes late. And she said, what, we had a flat tire, teacher? She said, really? Yeah, we had a flat tire. I'll tell you what. I decided to give you a zero today for being late. But instead, I'm going to give you a test, one question test. If you pass that, you're fine. I said, all right, we can handle that. I said, each of you go to the different corner of the room, and I'll have the same question. And the question was, which tire was flat? Just need one wrong answer, and they were in a lot of trouble, right? I wonder today, you know, how we came is one way, but how we leave today, are we spiritually honest? When we walk out of this door after singing the hymns of the faith, after having prayed, and when we walk out saying, Lord, it's all good, you and me, you and I, we're tight, and we know we're not. Are we holding ourselves accountable there? How many of you have taken a selfie? If you're not into smartphones, you might not know what a selfie is. You know, today we need to take a spiritual selfie. What do we look like before God? Not what we think other people think. You can fool me. I'm so easily fooled. I can fool you. But I can't fool God. Test your works, he says. Test what you're doing. Test why you're doing it. Are we really being honest with God? It's easy to overlook, especially those spiritual matters. Are we carrying our own load? You know, usually when a pastor mentions this, it's nominating time. And guess what? Next Sunday, we're going to be passing out all the job descriptions. But you know what? Just put that on hold for a moment. Let me ask us, are we bearing our spiritual load to Jesus Christ in the walk of our life that has absolutely nothing to do with Flat Springs Baptist Church? When we go to work or school, when we're in the neighborhood, in the community, in our home, are we bearing the load? Are we doing what God has called us to do, being what God has called us to be? If we think that discipleship and church membership are the same thing, then we're missing most of it. Because the idea of what we do here at church is to equip us that when we go out and spend the majority of our time, 95% of our time outside these walls, we might be disciples. The greatest work of being a disciple is outside. I think sometimes our homes aren't what they need to be because we're more about church membership than we are discipleship in our homes. I think sometimes our witness might not be as strong as it needs to be in the workplace or at school or wherever it might be because we think that church is where we do that spiritual stuff. But the greatest work, test your works, he says, test your works. I wonder today what God would be saying to each of us about our own accountability. We're accountable to others, we're accountable to ourselves, and that brings me to the last point, verses 7 through 9 in our text. We're accountable to God. God knows. Have you ever used the spiritual language when God didn't need the spiritual language? There's a great story by Tony Campello. He'd been invited. He's a great speaker. He is one of God's sharpest tongues, if you know Tony Campello. He kind of lets the cards fall where they may, and sometimes they fall right between your eyes, if you know what I'm saying. And he was asked to speak at a woman's conference, and at one point in that conference, right before his speech, they were a group that had a very, very firm conviction of the Holy Spirit about a mission project that needed almost $5,000 to be funded, brought it up. And the chairperson was caught a little bit off guard by it, and so the chairperson did what we all do. Well, why don't we pray about it? You know, isn't that, you ever? Well, I'll pray for you. So she thought, well, we've got Dr. Campello here, noted speaker and great man of God. We'll let him offer the prayer. So she said, we appreciate you sharing this need for $5,000. And Dr. Campello, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer? And Dr. Campello said, no. No, I won't. And everybody kind of went, whoa. Never seen this happen before. What in the world? But he went on. He said, you see, as I look out on this group of people, there's already enough resources here to complete the project right here in this room. It would be inappropriate to pray for God's blessing when God's already blessed us. And the necessary gift to fund this project is right here in our hands. And so they took up an offering. And they got $6,000 in the offering. And then Tony said, may I lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for our faithfulness to God. I wonder if there's some things we know we just really ought to do, not pray about. We know. There's some changes we ought to make, and we don't have to pray about them. We just need to implement. I believe we live differently when we know God knows. Let me say it a different way. We should live differently when we know God knows. Brothers and sisters, God knows. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows my will. He knows your will. He knows my temptations and my failures. He knows yours. He knows. For whatever a man sows, that's what he'll reap. Let's don't grow weary in doing the right thing. I wonder today what God may have said in these few moments we've had together. I wonder what His call is for us as disciples of His. I wonder what we need to be doing. I wonder if there's one here who'd say, you know, in just a moment we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a hymn of commitment, a hymn of decision. I've been telling God for a long time I've had a flat tire. I've just been praying when I should be doing. I've just taken a spiritual selfie, and I see what I need to change. I wonder if today we might say, Lord, I'm accountable to you, because I know you know. Gary doesn't know. The person behind me in the pew or in front of me in the pew, they don't know. My own family. They don't know. But, oh Lord and oh God, you know. And today, I'm willing to test. I'm willing to bear my own load before you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you speak to us in this moment? Because we have the opportunity right now, because your Holy Spirit is in this place, to lead differently. But Lord, we also have the ability to leave exactly like we came in, unbent, unchanged, and unwilling. Lord, would you begin with me and make me more like you, more willing. Forgive me for my failures. Give me the strength, Lord, to move forward in your grace and in your mercy, but also in your justice and in your righteousness. And Lord, I know that one day I'll stand before you and give an account. Help me to be accountable today. That on that day, I'll hear those words, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Our hymn is page 494, Take Up Your Cross. Today, if God is calling you to make some public decision for Him, we want to invite you and encourage you to do that. But may each of us, before we leave today, think of that cross as our accountability. And as we sing, we'll take it up. May that be our heart's desire and our life's commitment as we stand together and sing. Do pray that you'll look over the bulletin and be involved in all those. If anyone would like to be a messenger to Our associational semi-annual meeting that's tomorrow night at Jonesboro Heights. I've got the messenger cards, and by a vote of our church, any member in good standing can pick up a card and go as an elected messenger. And we've got, I think, 7 or 8 if you'd like to go and be a part of that tomorrow night. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, as we depart from this place, we go as disciples. And there is indeed a land full before us. May we fall down as Thomas did and say, "My Lord and my God." And may our belief, our faith, drive us to people and to conversations and to actions and to deeds that would honor you, and drive us away from people, from actions, from words that would dishonor you, that we might be that good and faithful servant. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.